questions for Chapter 3 are on the back foyer, so you can pick one up at the close of services this evening. And tonight we are going to start Chapter 2 of the Book of Ruth. And after we finish this chapter, we'll be halfway through. Last week we noticed that Naomi and Ruth traveled to Bethlehem, and that's where they're at now. And in Chapter 2, we're going to see some interesting things happening in the fields of harvest. First, we're going to notice in this chapter that Ruth has a right to glean. And we talked about gleaning a couple of weeks ago. We'll get into it a little further on this evening. But she has the right to glean in the field. We're also going to look at, in this chapter, the results of her gleaning. Not only did she acquire food for their means, Naomi and Ruth, but also we're going to see that she meets Boaz. Boaz is introduced in this chapter, and we'll get into it a little bit later on. And we're going to find out some interesting things about Boaz. We looked at Chapter 1, and we had determined that Naomi needed redemption, and so did Ruth. Boaz is a kinsman of Elimelech, who is going to provide that means of redemption later on. We're going to see that Boaz is going to protect Ruth. He's going to provide protection while she's gleaning in the fields. We also are going to notice that Boaz is going to provide for Ruth. And we're going to see that as we go through this chapter. And finally, in this chapter, we're going to see that Ruth is going to report back to Naomi on what transpired as she was gleaning in the field. So, like I said, this chapter introduces Boaz. And he's going to be for Naomi and Ruth a savior for them. He's going to provide for them, which is in accordance to the law of Moses. We also going to notice that Naomi has a strong initiative to work so that she can have the means to live and also to support her mother-in-law, Naomi. She's very diligent about meeting this need. We're going to notice in the second verse of this chapter that she's going to request that she goes out and gleans in the field. We also are going to notice that Boaz, who is the owner of the field, takes an interest in Naomi. An interest in Ruth to the point that he provides for her and cares for her. And it's stated in verses 4 to 16. Pretty interesting, provocative thoughts when we read that. Boaz is a foreshadow of Christ. There you go. If you look at Boaz taking care of Ruth, what does Christ do for his children? What did he do for us? He died on the cross, was buried, and he rose again. He was the sacrifice that God had demanded for sins. So, when you read Ruth, you can read the story. It's a love story, but more important, it has deeper implications for you and I. Because Boaz foreshadows the Christ. With him being Boaz, taking care of Naomi and Ruth in the physical sense, in the spiritual sense, Jesus takes care of you and I. And that's something that is important to our Christian walk of life. We also see that Boaz is going to stir up hope for Naomi and Ruth. We're going to see how in verses 21 to 23, remember Naomi changed her name to, what was that? Mara. Bitter. But yet, Naomi's going to recognize God as the sovereign power. And we're going to see that in the last part of this chapter. So essentially, that's a picture of hope. The hope of redemption. In the physical sense, that's what Boaz is going to provide for them. But in the long term, it's God's providence. Because out of this relationship, David's going to come. And Ruth is going to be part of the lineage of the Christ. Which is God's determination, not man's. So with that, let's see. First question on our sheets is, who is Boaz? And Ron, would you read verse 1, please, of the chapter? Two.
And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz.
Thank you. So we see that Boaz was a kinsman of Elimelech. He was a man of great wealth. When you look at his name, remember we did a study on names, it means mighty, valiant. That's Boaz. And when you look at his life through the eyes of this author of Ruth, we see that he lives up to that. He's kind. He is compassionate. He is loving. And he's following God's laws. Which is a lesson for you and I. We should be putting God's laws on our hearts and living that. Living that so that others could see the way to Christ, the way to God. What God expects His creation to live like. And if we present to the people in the world that we're angry, we're upset, and we do get upset, we get angry, but yet we have to show that we emulate the light of Christ. The author of the Hebrew letter in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, He said, look at all those people before you who are faithful. But yet, focus your eyes on Jesus Christ, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. So we should emulate Christ Jesus in our lives. So when you look at... I forgot to put the verse down. Sorry. When you look at what's happening here, here's Boaz coming on the scene. He is a man of great wealth, but yet he is also a kinsman, a relative of Elimelech. And he's going to play a crucial role in this love story, as we'll see as we progress. What did Ruth suggest to Naomi as a way of obtaining food? Sherry? Would you? Okay.
The answer, we're going to read the verse.
Read the verse and then give me the answer.
All right. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So she was going to glean the fields. She's going to glean the fields. Let's leave it there.
Exactly. If you read different translations, they interject whose field it was, but yet when you look at this particular translation, New American Standard Bible, which I always use, he's going to go out and glean the field. The law of Moses guaranteed that he was going to take care of his people. Those who are poverty stricken. And when you look at Ruth and Naomi, well, they were widows. They didn't have anybody to take care of them. They were childless. And they were, in fact, another factor that you could put in that Ruth was a foreigner in the land of Israel now. But yet, she was determined to go glean and work so that they could be supportive, they could have some nourishment, food, and so forth. Carol.
Well, she doesn't just say, I'm going to go glean and it's my decision sort of thing. She's asking permission, and she's also asking for her advice on who she can find favor with.
Exactly. And we'll also see down the line that before she went into the field, she has permission to go do the gleaning in that particular field. Okay, the law of Moses said that those who have fields are required to take care of the poor and the needy and the widows. We see in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, and Ron Harrison, would you read that for us, please?
Leviticus 19?
Yes, 9 and 10, please. Here's what the law of Moses says concerning the gleaning.
Leviticus 19, 9 and 10. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. Thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every corner of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the strangers. I am the Lord your God.
So there had to be some of the crop left for those who were in need. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 19, and Sharon, would you pick up that reading, please?
Yes. Deuteronomy 4.
24, verse 19.
Okay, 24. When you reap your harvest in your field and have forgotten a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back and get it. It shall be for the alien, for the orphan, and for the widow, in order that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands.
Thank you. So we see that the law of Moses provided for those who were poor, those who were widows, those who were strangers. They were allowed to go glean in the fields. And those landowners who had these fields followed the law. And they allowed people to follow after their harvesters to glean. In the case of Ruth, she just happened to go to the field of Boaz. Nobody directed her, but God directed her. Right, Saber. It was God's providence that brought her to that field. So, and question three, whose eye did Ruth catch?
Boaz,
right. We find that in verses 4 and 5. And we read that, "Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'May the Lord be with you.' And they said to him, 'May the Lord bless you.' Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, 'Whose young woman is this?'" First of all, when Boaz goes to the field, he blesses his workers. And they in turn do the same. There's a mutual respect for each other. Even though he's the boss and that's his field, his reapers or servants respect him. And then he asks the head guy, "Who's that woman in the field?" Probably never noticed her gleaming in years past. I don't know what attracted Boaz to say that. I don't know. The text doesn't say anything about Ruth's beauty. I don't know. I'm not going to speculate. But he did notice Ruth. And so he asked his servant, "Who is that?" And how did the servant identify Ruth? Kathleen, would you please read verses 5 through 7, please?
"Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, 'Whose young woman is this?' The servant in charge of the reapers replied, 'She is a young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the trees." Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while."
Thank you, Kathleen. So in those verses we see, well, the servant knew this person who was gleaming and reported back to Boaz and said, "Well, first of all, she's that young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab." And also notice in this particular reading, he mentioned that Ruth asked permission to glean. Very humble. But yet wanted permission to glean in that field. And then the servant said, "She came and remained from the morning until now." Ruth was a very diligent worker. She had a mindset on providing for both herself and Naomi. And then servant said, she has been sitting in the house for a little while. Well, it's not a big house. It's probably just a little hut to get away from the sun. But yet she doesn't hang out there. She was just taking a break and then going back to gleaning. And this must have impressed Boaz. It certainly impresses me for someone who is a hard worker and asks before she does something. And she's willing to work all hours. Pretty impressive. So we see God's sovereign power working here. Ruth was in Boaz's field. Boaz notices Ruth, and all of a sudden there's some chemistry going on between the both. Because we see that Ruth's going to talk to her. Boaz is going to initiate a conversation with Ruth. So what did Boaz say to Ruth in verse 8? Your question number 5. And Bob can...
Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids."
Thank you, Bob. So we see that he addresses Ruth as my daughter. When someone does that, it indicates maybe that there's a difference of age. She's younger, so he calls her my daughter. And he tells her, Ruth, don't go in any other field. Stay here and glean. And he also takes that one step further. And he said, glean with my maids. Stay with them. That's pretty important because he's trying to protect her, trying to provide a guarantee that no one's going to hurt her. I don't know what it was back then, but when you look at today's society, it's so corrupt and perverse. People are getting hurt, people are getting killed, stabbed, whatever. It must have been the same way back then. There were murders, rapes, and so forth. Boaz is trying to protect Ruth. When Naomi came back to Jerusalem, people talked to her. People probably told others that Naomi came back. And Boaz is a kinsman of Elimelech. He has shouldered a responsibility to provide. That was pretty huge for them back then, to provide for their kinsmen, as it is for us today. Families should provide for one another. Physically, if they can. On the spiritual level, your Christian family should support and help and manage that are spiritual. Yes, Sharon.
And also, I think it's very important to set an example for the people around you, not only your family.
Exactly. Very good point. We as Christians today in our Christian walk of life set an example not only to our family, but also people around us. We studied about who our neighbor is in the Second Corinthian letter. A neighbor is everybody else. We should set an example. Very good point. Thank you. So when Boaz notices Ruth, he says he wants to protect her. Don't go into other fields, but stay here. And the caveat to that is he wants Ruth to stay with him, his maids. What instructions did Boaz give the young man about Ruth? Ken? What do you think?
Leave her alone.
Exactly. We see that in verse 9, let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jugs and drink from what the servants draw. So there's two commands he gave his servants. Make sure no one touches him, her, Ruth, that is. And also, when she's thirsty, let her drink. Provide water for her. So we see Boaz is providing for her. And we'll see how more as we go through this lesson. Why did Boaz find favor with Ruth? Carol?
In verse 10, it says that he's taken notice of me. And why have you? Because I'm a foreigner. So, you want me to read that verse too?
Sure. Why don't you read verses 10 and 11?
Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have you found fit? Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and mother in the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know.
Thank you. So we see that he heard the story of Ruth from people around him. And yet, even after the death of her husband, Ruth's husband, and who is that? I'm skipping a little bit. Mahlon, right. Very good. The author doesn't identify who is married to who in the beginning, but yet when we go to chapter 4, we're going to see that Mahlon was her husband. Even after the death of her husband, she still cared for Naomi. She was loyal to her, faithful to her, and also wanted to provide for her. And in Boaz's eyes, this is an excellent trait in a woman. It's an excellent trait in someone who provides for their family. Bob?
According to last Sunday evening's lesson, it's an example of loving kindness.
Absolutely. You know, she showed kindness to Naomi. And this impressed Boaz. And another point that impressed Boaz is he noticed that she left her mother and father in Moab and came to Bethlehem with Naomi. She dedicated herself to Jehovah. And we read that statement in the first chapter, verses 14 through 16, how she told Naomi, I'm not going to leave you. Where you go, I'm going to go. Your God is my God. Your people are my people. The only thing that's going to separate you from me is death. What a commitment to the Lord. When we as Christians are baptized, we should be that dedicated in our Christian way of life. No matter how Satan tries to influence us, no matter what pressures we get from the world, we should stand firm in our Christian walk of life. And here's what was reported to Boaz, and he understood that these traits in Ruth indicate her kindness, her loyalty, her faithfulness, and her love. Things that should come into our lives too. What blessings did Boaz give Ruth? Frank, would you read verse 12, please?
The Lord will reward you for all you have done. You will be paid in full by the Lord, the God of Israel. You have come to him as a little bird finds shelter under the wings of its mother.
Thank you, Frank. So we see that in this verse 12, the Lord's going to reward your work. So Boaz has given a blessing to Ruth. He also says, your wages be full from the Lord. And also, the Lord is her refuge. Lord Jehovah is going to take her under his wing. Pretty impressive blessing he gives Ruth. He sees how diligent she is. She sees how kind she is. She sees how loyal she is. And she sees how she's putting the Lord Jehovah first. Examples for you and I in our lives. Everything we do should be done for the Lord. In fact, no matter where you're at, whether it's in this building or out in the grocery store, God's presence is there, and he's observing your actions as others in the world are observing. It's up to you and I to emulate Christ in our lives at all times. I know we get bogged down with getting upset. We get bogged down in our own internal pressures, but the bottom line is put God first. And that's what Naomi did. That's what Ruth did here. She's putting God first. And she's doing what she can. I like Proverbs chapter 31, where we read about the woman. If you want to know about that woman, you look at my wife, Faye. She'll tell you. She does all those things. In the amount of time we've been married, I can understand what a godly woman is by looking at what she does. And I also could understand, as I look at all the ladies in this room, what they do, and how they cared. When my children were growing up here, they showed an interest in them, which was a positive example for them, for their lives. And thank you for that. And it's important when you look at those characteristics of a godly woman. Ruth checks those boxes where she's providing and she's also putting God first. Something that is important in your Christian walk of life. What special favor did Boaz tell his young men to show Ruth? And can you read 13-16, Jeremy?
Yeah. Okay, 13-16.
Jonathan, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I looked at you and I said, why is Jeremy here? Thank you.
Then she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it, that she may glean, and do not rebuke her.
Thank you. So we see that in this dialogue between Boaz and Ruth, we notice that she said, I'm not one of your maidservants. I'm a foreigner. But I want to point out in verse 14, Boaz invites her to sit down for lunch. And he goes one step beyond that. He serves her, if you notice, in 14. He says, come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat by the reapers, and he served her roasted grain. Here's the boss coming down and serving this maiden who was a foreigner, even though she was a kinsman to Boaz. He served her. What does that remind you of?
Jesus and the disciples.
Exactly. Jesus took it upon himself to serve them. An example for you and I. We should serve one another. Just because someone is an elder or a deacon or a preacher, we should serve each other. We should put others ahead of ourselves. And that's what Boaz did here. He took the time, first of all, to invite her to lunch. But more importantly, he took the time to serve her. We as Christians should follow that example. Serve others to the best way we can. Sometimes we find the difficulties of some difficulties, but yet if you can, you provide that service, no matter what it is, to help not only your brothers and sisters, but also others in the world, your neighbors. So in this reading we see he tells his servants, let it glean even among the sheaves. Well, that's what they pick up for the grain, for the barley grain. But yet Boaz says, let it glean from there. We also see, don't insult her. Respect her. Show her respect. We also see in this reading, he tells his reapers to, hey, pull some grain out of the bundles and leave it so that she may pick them up. We also see that he tells his servants, don't rebuke her. Show her respect. Show her honor. And that's what they did. In verse 5, we see that Boaz sees Ruth gleaning in the fields. She has a need for food. She is providing for herself and Naomi. God knows our needs. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, we read, so do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. In John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, we read, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for my sheep. We are the sheep. And Jesus laid down his life for you and I. He died on the cross of Calvary. Boaz took the initiative to talk to Ruth. He started the conversation in verse 8. Well, God speaks to us through His Word. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. That's our job as Christians. Search the scriptures. God speaks to us through His word. And it's up to you and I to glean from that what He expects us to do, how He expects us to conduct our lives here on this earth. You have one chance, and that one chance is now. We are all born to die, and the time we die, we are going to meet God, and He's going to go over our lives, good and the bad. And it's not by our actions, it's not by our merit, it's by God's grace and mercy we are going to have eternal life. We also see in verse 9, Boaz promised to protect Ruth. God's going to protect us. God's going to protect you and I. Luke says in chapter 21 and verse 18, yet not a hair on your head will perish. And Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. So how do we get that? We get it through reading His Word. studying his word. I have difficulties when I read the Bible. I could read it, next thing you know, I forget about it. But yet when I study the Bible, I take it apart, dissect it, and understand what it says, it makes more sense to me. And then I apply that to my life. In verse number 12, we see that Boaz encourages Ruth when she is in desperate need. He says, hey, go glean in my fields. I'll protect you. I'll make sure that nobody's going to harm you. And you could go and work in the fields. Well, the Lord will encourage us in our desperate moments. We reach out to Him, pray for them, to Him, so that He can assist us. We see in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I want to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are unwilling. It's sad when you look at the history of the children of Israel, where they didn't put God first. They sinned. We spoke in an earlier class, no matter what the sin is, the consequences are all the same. As Paul has stated in sixth chapter of Romans, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Isaiah the prophet writes in the 25th chapter in verse 4, for you have been a defense for the helpless, a defense for the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat, for the breath of the rootless is like a rainstorm against the wall. God will always be there for you and I. It's up to you and I to reach out to Him. We also see that Boaz provided for Ruth. In verse 15, the Lord provides for you and I. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 23, look at the bird, verse 26 rather, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? And Paul, when he wrote to the church of Philippi, says in back on track. Sorry about that. In the Philippian letter, chapter 4, verse 19, we read, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God can provide for you and I. Trust in him, and he'll provide for you. In verse 16, we read, Boaz is going to provide abundantly for Ruth. And we see what he has done for her. What about the Lord? He will provide abundantly for his people. We look at the children of Israel when they were roaming around in the desert. God provided for them. What about us today? John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that I may have life and have it abundantly. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. And Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. We read, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. God's going to give us everything we need. And he knows what we need. Not what we want. It's what we need that will take care of us in this world. So getting back to Ruth, how long did she glean and how much barley did she get in the field? And I left off. Lauren, would you please read verses 17 through 18, please?
So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied.
Thank you. So we see she gleaned in the field until evening. She worked hard. She worked diligently. And she got out of it an ephah of barley, which is about 22 to 30 pounds. I'm not too familiar with their measurement system, but that's what I got off the internet. And it says that Ruth and Naomi were both satisfied. Even the leftovers from her meal, she took back to Naomi. That must have been very special. Her daughter-in-law doing that. When did Ruth become aware that Boaz was her kinsman? Faye, would you please read that? Verses 19 and 20, please.
Her mother-in-law then said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she worked and said, "The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz." Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the widow and to the dead." Again, Naomi said to her, "The man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives."
Thank you. So we see that Naomi tells Ruth, this guy who owns the field is our kinsman. He's a relative, a close relative. And not only that, she blesses Boaz and says, "May he who took notice of you be blessed." So we see there's a change in Ruth, in Naomi. He's recognizing God's sovereignty. Bill, do you have a quick question?
Yeah, my footnote has an alternate reading that says he is one of them that has the right to redeem.
Yeah.
Which is a little more...
He's a kinsman, that's yeah. His right. Absolutely. Good point. So... So, Linda, would you please read verses 21 to 23, please?
Then Ruth, the Moabitess, said, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'You should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest.' Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, 'It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids, so that others do not fall upon you in another field.' So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law.
Thank you. So you see, Naomi tells Ruth, stay with Boaz's maids so that nothing harmful will come upon you. We see Boaz is stirring up hope for Naomi and Ruth. We see that Naomi praises the Lord in verse 20. We see that Boaz assures continued provision for Naomi and Ruth. As a new kinsman, that was his responsibility. And he does that. He does that abundantly. We also see that Boaz goes one step further and assures Ruth's protection in his field. He guarantees that she's going to be safe. He makes sure that his servants protect her so no harm will come upon her. And also, Boaz stresses the point that Ruth could glean in his fields till the end of harvest. Now, we started with the barley harvest, which is about mid-April, and then right after that follows the wheat harvest. So you could see there's a relationship developing. And in chapter 3, when we get into that next week, we'll see what happens, how that relationship gets to the next level. Thank you for your participation and your readings and your responses. Next week's lessons are on the back.